Welcome to the Lost Dot podcast and the first edition of the Accursed Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Peak Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. Day 6 in the Accursed Mountains, and our riders are now spread over hundreds of kilometers, making it even more challenging for our media team to track them down. So in this episode, we share a little more behind the scenes and what goes into covering the race. Before that, race coordinator Hannah Larbalessier describes what happened overnight between our two leaders, Alexander Kopp, Cap 27, and Adrian Lichty, Cap 12.
Yeah, there's been a lot of action happening overnight and this morning. So overnight, Adrian took the lead over Alex. They both experienced some pretty foul weather heading out of Peshkopi. We saw Alex leaving CP2 first, with Adrian fairly hot on his heels. Matt and I caught them for some photos in the valley just after Peshkopi, and Alex looked to be going really quite slowly. Adrian actually overtook Alex. They headed out onto quite a remote section of the course, on the very south end of the course, and quickly the weather turned sour. We had storms rolling in here. There was thunder and lightning and a lot of rain, and both of them backtracked back to a petrol station and a hotel on the road to seek a bit of shelter from the storm. So it looks like Alex had a good night of sleep at the hotel there. He had about 5 hours. Adrian hid out from the rain, by the looks of it on the tracker, headed back out onto the course and then got some kip a bit further up the track, presumably when it had stopped raining.
Approaching Control Point 1 in Varana, race reporter Tom Probert speaks to one of our pairs, Peter Ola and Lajos Kavesh, Caps 42A and B.
Good morning, my Hungarian friends. How are you doing? Keep going.
No, we have slept very well, but we wanted to give a go yesterday, but the rain has started to fall.
Yeah, then last night.
Yeah, we decided to have a hotel night again.
Yeah.
We weren't able to start early. That's what happened, honestly.
Is this your latest start yet?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But today we're going to ride a little more than 200 kilometers. It's going to be okay.
Nice. How was it going over the climb last night?
It was very good.
Nice. Yeah.
It was very nice. It's a magical, absolutely magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like e-biking, you know. Easy going up.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah.
It was pretty steep.
Really steep, but it was minimal effort, like this.
Yeah.
Very good. Very strange.
Did you guys manage to stay together? Because when I saw you yesterday, there was a big gap.
Sometimes yes, but the moral is okay. So we are working as a pair very well.
Great.
I guess.
And
good teamwork.
What music are you going to be listening to today for motivation? You've got your Bluetooth speaker here.
You've got your
phone on your aero bars. It's a hi-fi setup.
I think let's find something together. Very easy. Tuck, tuck, tuck.
It's a great setup you've got here.
Yeah, absolutely. Megatron Man by Patrick Coley. Come on.
Oh, we need the speaker as well.
Yeah. But where is the tuck? Very easy.
This is where you've been losing your time, is it?
Yeah. Come on, it works. All right. Good for climbing, no?
That's gonna get you up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to walk like this.
At the front of the race, Alex and Adrian continue to fight it out on one of the most remote stretches of the Accursed Mountains. With the finish line now fully on their minds, they are riding within minutes of each other. Race reporter Ross Brannigan spoke to Adrian to learn more about what happened when the storm arrived the previous evening.
Last night, so I passed the petrol station, then thunderstorm, lightning in the field. So I went back, I slept in the petrol station behind The police woke me up. Then I left, start to climb, and it was terrible, raining, super cold. So I emergency BV'd on the side of the road. And 1 hour or something after I left. It was not the smartest decision.
You look to be in a real rush. What's changed?
What's changed?
Yeah, you were kicking it so easy the last few days, and then now you seem to be really, really hooning it.
Yeah, I want to finish. No, we are super close, I think. And it's a race. It's a race.
As the accursed race is a fixed route, there's a good chance that many of our riders will stop to eat, drink, and resupply in the same places.
Do you mind me recording? We're making a podcast for this bike race that's happening, which is the accursed race.
And
so the riders all come past this cafe. So,
Have you seen other cyclists come through?
Yes. In the morning was one man from Switzerland with bike. He said to me, we are 40 people from all Europe.
Have any of them stopped here? He stopped?
Yes. Yeah. He drink coffee in the morning, yes. And others.
Yeah.
But today,
just him.
We're heading down to CP2 in Peshkopi, but we've got one small diversion to make before we get there. Do you want to explain where we're heading?
Yeah, it's not really a diversion, more of a sort of planned lunch stop. Basically, when I was wrecking the route back in the summer, stopped by a cafe, roadside cafe, middle of nowhere in Albania, sort of close to the Kosovan border. And a young lad who'd clearly learnt his English off YouTube saw a car go past and went, "Oh, that's a nice effing BMW. We got chatting to this lad as we're having lunch, 4 or 5 years old. He was translating between us and his dad, and he was a real character. We asked him how long food might be, and he goes, 4 hours. Please, can you ask your dad? Because I'm not sure that's right. Nah. And when he did ask his dad, sure enough, the answer was 5 minutes. He really held all the power because he was the only one who spoke English and Albanian. But as we left, I sort of put him on my bike and wheeled him around the road. As we left, he said to me, "Are you going to come back?" I said, "Yeah, I am actually. I'm going to come back next year." And he goes, "Because I've had other friends on bicycles, and they've never come back." So I've taken I took a selfie of the two of us together. And we're about to go back. I'm gonna show him and ask if he remembers. I said I'd come back, and now here I am.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your English? You've been practicing?
Just a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much.
I have this photo that I took when we were last here.
Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah. Do you remember riding my bike?
Yes. And I remember riding your bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I haven't got my bike this time. I've only got a car, so you can't ride it.
Yeah, I know.
Back at the front of the race, and Ross is with one of our race photographers, Matt Grayson. He's preparing the perfect shot as both Alex and Adrian approach, all while trying to stay out of sight.
Just explain what we're looking at, if you can.
It's difficult to kind of explain what they are. They're like four massive, what are they made of? They're like metal kind of
oil
drums, or like, but they're probably about, well, they're way above the size of a three-story house, and they're all kind of in a line. They're all rusted, but one of them's kind of collapsed and is at a 45 degree angle as well.
And then it's buckled, hasn't it?
Yeah, under the pressure. And then you've got this amazing, sort of like beautiful, like mountain in the background.
Zigzagging road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mint.
We've got a clear shot up the road to where they'll be coming from.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. A couple of goats
can't really
coming
go,
down the rail.
Can't
the road.
Really go much further. There's a bit of a vertical drop as well.
There he is. Good lad. Now we've had both Alex and Adrien go through. Adrien was moving slower than Alex, and there's a good 25 minute gap between them now. The time's now around about 17:30, so 5:30 in the afternoon. And the clouds really starting to come down on these hills, and it feels really tropical here. There's like, you know, bracken and ferns, and the hills are adorned with like verdant trees, and there's a real mist and dampness to the air. So it feels like there's a potential storm on the way.
Rory Anderson, Cap 23, has ridden a superb race. He's been in fourth position for most of the route. Tom caught up with him for the first time on the approach to Control Point 2 in Peshkopi.
It has rained, and it's just turned to like South American sludge. You know the stuff that cakes your wheels up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Saw a bit, lots of bear tracks up there. Yeah. Didn't see any bears, that's a shame. There was a big pair of tracks just up from where I was camping.
Yeah.
Was that exciting or scary?
To be honest, that side I didn't even care.
Yeah.
Vic could probably jump up and punch it, to be fair. Came near me, was that grumpy.
So you've managed to kind of slip through our net. I don't think anyone's found you or spoken to you on the race so far, have they?
I don't think so, no. I haven't recalled actually talking to him for the past 6 days.
Rory makes it to CP2 and is greeted by one of our race volunteers, Tongai Dunar.
It's I'm trying to figure out like patterns between the riders I see coming through and Adrian's. I was just thinking, Adrien, you could see on his face, like, his the traits where you could tell he had been going through a lot, and here, I feel like Rory's face is very composed, but yet when I hear him talking or I see him move, I feel like he's very very tired. It's just very different.
Tom reporting in here from the mean streets of Peshkopi. I'm just outside the hotel at CP2 and I'm striking out to try and find Rory Anderson, cap number 21. He's pinged kind of basically just at the end of the road where the hotel is on, and we assumed he was just going to ride in and validate at the control point. But he seems to be hanging around there for a bit, so I'm going to go and investigate. How does it feel to get to control point 2, Rory?
I thought it was never going to come.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer amount of hills and mud, rocks.
Yeah. And you've got yourself a bag of food here.
Yeah, do you want to feel the weight of it?
It's not
all going to go on the boat.
It's good. You're going to have
it tonight to eat Kinder Bueno.
Is that completely full of Kinder Bueno?
Almost.
So did you have any expectations for how you'd do in this one?
No, I just wanted to see if I could get round. Yeah. I still want to know if I can get round, you know, still, what was it, 400k? And looking at what it was looking like today and the day just gone, it's pretty burly.
Here's race reporter Ross with a summary at the end of day 6.
Hi everybody, it's Ross again. We've been following the front riders as they make their way back towards Skoder. While the other team in Control Car 1, they've been keeping the distance today. A lot of the riders have just been keeping on the move and staying on the sort of more remote parts of the course. So in keeping with the spirit of letting them ride their own race and enjoy the remote wilderness that this beautiful region has to offer. So it has been a day of full on racing. Incredibly, I'm back in Skoder, the finish line for this race. The first finishers of the first edition of the Accursed Race are expected around about tomorrow lunchtime, which is absolutely incredible to think. We don't know whether Alex or Adrian is going to be the first to come in, so we're all watching the tracker with bated breath.
As the first riders make their approach back to Shoda and the finish line, there are still many more stories from the mountains to share. Join us for the next episode, where we'll crown the winner of the first edition of the Accursed Race and hear from those riders making their way to Control Point 2 before they also begin the final stretch of the race. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Peak Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. In our mini interview for this episode, Lost Dots media manager Taylor Doyle speaks to Rob Quirk, founder of Quirk Cycles, ultra distance cyclist, and previous contributor to this very podcast.
We've had a lot of chat going on in the Accursed, like, comments and social media about gravel bike versus mountain bike, which is, of course, the classic conversation around these races. What do you think would make a good bike choice for a race like the Accursed?
100% hardtail, an MTB, at minimum. Gravel bikes, unless you've got really big clearances where you can fit like 2.3-inch tyres, gravel bikes are just always going to not quite cut the mustard when you're on the off-road sections. And that's something that I always found, that if you have to push your bike downhill as well as uphill because it's just unrideable on a gravel bike, then that mentally is like such a drain, and it's such a sucker punch when you're riding these events. I find that too much. So I'd rather sacrifice a bit of aerodynamics on the road for way more capability off-road.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, it's always down to the rider and their relationship with their bicycle. But as we know, there is such a, and as you would definitely know, there's a crazy amount of crossover with, like, you can have a drop bar mountain bike and sort of like all of this, these adventure bikes and things that are coming out. And then when you go sort of custom, it can get even more just, it's all relative to what your definition of a mountain bike is, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. The crossover is quite big. I mean, one of my models, the Overland, is like a fully rigid 29er, which I made for Atlas Mountain Race. And my friends, the downhill mountain bikers, I was like, you know, hey guys, what do you think of my mountain bike? And they're like, that's not a mountain bike. There's no suspension. So, you know, it was a very clear cut for them. It's just like, if you don't have suspension, it's not a mountain bike. So even if you've got 29er wheels, flat bars, right, even the geometry, it just isn't a mountain bike. Bike.
Yeah, sorry, you're not one of us.
Exactly, yeah. I wasn't in the club yet. Yeah, so the crossover is huge, and obviously it is preference to rider. A lot of people come from a road background, find it hard to leave behind drop bars. But for me, as soon as I made that move to flat bars, to mountain bike geometry, all of this, it just made so much more sense. And all of a sudden, a lot more comfort, a lot more control off-road. The off-road sections didn't become these overwhelming battles. You could really just rattle them off a lot quicker, which I think is, you know, it's all about having these important things that are going to help you mentally if you feel like you're progressing. You keep going and you don't have a bad day.
And what's the sort of like difference between, like, from a frame builder's perspective, between a bike for this kind of race that's good for long distance and like crazy amounts of hours on the bike versus like just something you want to go have a play offer on a day ride on a bike park?
Bike parks are generally about doing jumps and, you know, you'll have a trail. So you tend to have a, you know, bike that has a super steep, I mean, super slack head tube that makes it, you know, pushes the front wheel right out, makes it have great control on downhill. It have quite short chain stays to make it take those tight corners. But the flip side of that is on the uphill, they suck. You get big wheel flop where your front wheel is dropping side to side if you don't have any speed on you. So climbing on those bikes. So, and because of short chain stays, it makes you want to do a wheelie. So a bike made for bike packing, for long distance, for going up as well as downhill is quite different. You'll have a longer wheelbase, longer chain stays. You won't be so slack in the head tube. You generally have less suspension, and comfort will be really important. Like sat down comfort. You know, a lot of mountain bikers, you have a drop post to get rid of the saddle to get out of the way so you can move the bike underneath you because they're not sat down. Whereas obviously if you're doing 200, 250, 300 kilometers a day,
you might want to sit down.
So you've got to make sure you're comfortable when you're in that position, and when you're climbing that you can stay sat down, go into an easy gear, and you can spin. If you have to stand up all the time to climb, or you're not comfortable sat down because your bike is popping a wheelie all the time because there's too much weight on the back, then they're going to be problematic for doing long days in the saddle.
I've got to ask you before we finish up, have you been following along with the race, and who are you watching the most closely?
Absolutely been following this race. It's funnily enough been quite stable, hasn't it? The positions haven't been changing. The most exciting rider, I think, has to be Veronica. She's just putting in an amazing effort. I think currently she's in fifth position, and she's been climbing up the rankings to maintain that. And of course, she's fastest woman at the moment, leading woman in the race. And yeah, she's just putting in a stellar effort.
The Accursed.